morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday. Today we have Chris and Becca leading us in worship and we will be hearing testimonies about how God has helped to overcome.
We're so excited to be together as church family, even if we can't be together physically. Let's go for it this morning, expecting to meet God.
So good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us online once again. Hopefully many of you have been journeying with us as we've been looking at the armour of God throughout January and February. And just before we start a new series next week, we thought it would be a really good chance for us to actually capture some of the stories of what God has been doing amongst us. You know, as leaders in the church, we have got this increasing heart to hear the stories of what God is doing amongst us, amongst our community, amongst people inside our church. So today we're just going to focus on some stories of things that have been overcome during this time of the pandemic, stuff where God has been working and has been moving powerfully, but often we just don't tell stories that often. So we thought, hey, let's just grab a week to tell some of this stuff. And our intent is that actually you'll be inspired to remember some of the stuff that God has been doing with you as well, and to tell those stories. So Matt's going to be leading us in a short introduction to this stuff from the book of Revelation, and Chris and Becca Kennedy are going to be taking us into a time of worship. So I hope you're excited about what's going to be happening. So let's just pray together as we start off today. We thank you, Father God, that you are always here with us, regardless of our situation, regardless of what is happening in the world. You are still at work. You love us, and your intentions and plans towards us is good. I thank you, Father, for these stories that we're going to hear today. And I pray, Lord, that we are each inspired to listen to your word, to listen to one another, and to celebrate and praise your name when we recognize that you have been working amongst us, both individually and as a church. So we thank you, Father, for today. And we just raise our arms and our thoughts and our voices now to you and just say, we're here, Lord. Let's hear from you. So thank you, Father. Amen.
In 2004, when we still lived in London, we came here for a walk one day. And I stood here and I prayed to God that one day we would move to this part of the world. I didn't tell anyone about it. But 6 years later, in 2010, we moved here to a house that you can actually see from here, just down there.
We really believe as a church that God's been speaking to us about growing our confidence in our stories. Those everyday bits of life that as followers of Jesus are actually way more compelling than we sometimes think. So a question, how confident are you in your story? I don't mean your life story, but the normal stuff that you plus God in the everyday. There's this great verse that I want us to read from Revelation 12:11 that talks about the sheer potential of our story when it gets mixed in with God's story. Just listen to this. It says, they, that's us, you and me, triumphed over him, that's the devil and any evil that we face in life, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus and his incredible sacrifice on the cross. No surprise so far, right? But get what comes next. It says, and by the word of their testimony. Just stop and think about this for a moment. The victory of God through his blood shed on the cross through Jesus is being tied together with your testimony, with your story, and this is how love wins. Just a couple of thoughts on this that, for me, they really stir me up. The first is that your story is richer than you think, and I really believe this. Why? Because it contains parts of God's story. You were made by God. The image of God is in you. Even the bad bits, the brokenness, the mistakes, God can use those things. He does use those things. And we see him forgiving, being creative, leading us through. There's the good days. There's the answered prayers. There's the halfway through the story. Our stories mixed in with God's story on good days and on bad days. And yet so often what we do with these things is we privatise them. We shut them down. We make those things, well, they're personal to us. Why do we do that? Is it fear of rejection? Maybe. Maybe it's that voice in our head that sometimes says, just keep quiet. Who's going to want to hear from you? Here's the truth. Our story, when it gets mixed together with God's story, is arguably the most valuable thing you have to say. You know, people are rarely going to come to you and say, tell me what you believe. But they will say, how are you doing? What's going on? How's your week been? And actually, you know, we don't have any right to tell anybody what to believe. But we do have the right to say, this is me. This is what's going on. This is what life looks like for me as a person of faith in Jesus. You know, even Jesus, God incarnate, the Word, the Logos, the truth, didn't go around telling people what to believe. He went around telling stories. Did you know that out of the 183 times Jesus was asked a question, he only responded with a direct answer 3 times? Nearly all of the other times, Jesus responded by asking a question or telling a story, asking somebody about their story or telling them one to think about. Jesus knows how we're wired, that we love a good story. And actually, it's so godlike, isn't it? The God who doesn't push his way into your life or my life. He says, let me tell you a story, and you decide what to do with it. So your story is richer than you think. And so it stands to reason that your story is not just for you. Your story is for sharing. You know, the devil so often does this good job convincing us that people, they're not going to be interested, when in actual fact, nearly always the opposite is true. You know, one real life experience, authentic, told in a simple, honest way, can open up a person's heart who can listen for hours and hours to theories. Most people in real life don't want to hear a sermon, they want to hear a person. And the truth is, people are hungry right now. We don't need to force feed people, we don't need to Bible bash, but we do need to be confident about our stories, to be real, to be ready all the time just to talk about this stuff. This is me plus God at the moment. Not just the good stuff, the struggles too, and the bits that are halfway through. Here's the truth. God is nearer to non-believers than most believers believe. Let me just say that again. God is nearer to non-believers than most believers believe. I love what Jesus so often said. He would say, he who has ears, let him hear. And we need to get hold of this because it means the pressure is off. It's great news. It means that we don't need to share the whole of the story all at once or go into sermon or preaching mode. None of that stuff. You know, nobody makes a cake, takes it round to their friend's house and expects them to eat it all in one go. Have you noticed how Jesus seemed to say way less than we would think might be sufficient? He tells a small part or a story, then he just carries on. And you see people like, well, hold on, what did you mean? Can you tell us some more? It means the smallest part of your story mixed in with God's story is all you need because God does the rest. Here's a challenge for you, and this is not a preacher's challenge that you can kind of write off as being something that, you know, we're supposed to put at the end of a talk. This is a real challenge from one family member to another who is getting hold of this challenge myself. Would you be up for this? Tell a bit of your story where your life plus your faith life in God is mixed together and do it this week. Just be ready to do it. See what happens. What's the worst case? That someone says, okay, whatever, and you move on. But maybe it adds to what God is already doing in that person's life that you had no idea about. And maybe you get to be a small part of their story with God. Revelation 12:11 tells us that's what winning looks like. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So enjoy these little bits of story that we're going to listen to now, members of our church family. But most of all, let your confidence rise so that you're ready this week and in weeks and in months and in years to come to share a little bit of your story mixed with God's story. Rachel, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time. Tell us about a moment in your life or a time in your life where you have overcome.
Okay, so when I was thinking about this, the first thing that came to mind was something that happened to me just over 12 months ago, really, when out of the blue for me, I received a recall from my mammogram. And for me, that started sort of a spiral of journey, if you like. That weekend, I was very much fearful. Cancer is something that I've always been quite afraid of. Something that I, you know, obviously didn't want. And so you have to sort of work out whether you can trust God, whether you can trust God with your life, whether you can trust God to walk that way with you. And I did have a bit of a battle that weekend, but I do praise God for my background, for the family that I had. And so for me, my first instinct is always to pray. And so I spent a lot of time in prayer that weekend. And I asked for God's peace. And to be, you know, to be honest, God gave me that peace. It was really, really wonderful that when I went for the appointment on the Monday, which was to sort of see whether it was that, I knew I was going on that journey, but I knew that God would go with me. But I think it was my friends and my family who supported me through that. So many messages and scriptures and things that came. But also I decided to start journaling. I had been journaling a bit in the past, but I started to journal what I called my cancer journey. And that still goes on today, because this week I've had my follow-up for my annual mammogram, which has been delayed for COVID. So there's still things that I have to overcome, fears I have to overcome. And then, and part of this journey has also been about my retirement. I wanted to do something for God in my retirement, but I didn't know what. And then COVID hit and we were all stuck at home. But I, again, you know, I kept going back to God in prayer and the things that are the core of my life, if you like, prayer and my daily readings. And then out of the blue, obviously, Dave Kingswood emailed me, invited me to be part of Invest. And I was just excited that God wanted to use me in a different way, really.
Just tell us just briefly, for those that are watching that don't know, what is Invest?
Invest is something that the local Baptist Association have sort of started a couple of years ago to invest time and money in people who perhaps show some potential to be leaders or to move on in the church. For me, my year is I'm going to hopefully develop my coaching and mentoring skills. And for that, I'm going to be doing a course at Waverley Abbey, but also I'm going to hopefully support people in the church as well as I go along.
That's fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
So we're talking a little bit about overcoming stuff this morning, and I know you were going to share a little bit about some fears that you've overcome. So do you want to just talk about that?
Yeah, so I think when I started thinking about this, I kind of realised how many fears over the last couple of years I've kind of overcome, probably more than the rest of my life, to be honest. Lots of things have changed for me. So I was changing jobs. So job interviews was big sort of things that scared me. And I went through quite a few, and leaving my job that I was really comfortable in. And there was lots of little fears like that maybe didn't really have a bigger impact on my life in terms of how the fear made me feel. And then last year there was kind of a situation that just left me feeling really fearful and scared and vulnerable. And so then that was obviously a bigger one that then was having an impact on my like day-to-day life. And it wasn't until I spoke about it at a house group that I kind of overcame that barrier of thinking, actually, no, like I should bring God into this. Which I hadn't really been doing before. It kind of been very separate. And I think actually immediately it kind of started to feel better. It's definitely been a long process of overcoming it. It's not something that was just going to go away. But as soon as I'd kind of spoken about it at house group, I talked to a few more friends a bit more openly about it and prayed. And I kind of just felt this sense that actually I wasn't as alone.
And so what would you say to like people, because you know I'm sure there's a bunch of people who are watching this now who are perhaps dealing with their own sort of fears and anxieties, what advice would you give them?
my advice would be to definitely talk really honestly and openly about it with people, and don't, you know, people, if it's making you feel that bad and that vulnerable and that scared, like, nobody is ever going to feel like you're being ridiculous and you know, you're blowing it out of proportion, because if it's making you feel like that, it's a big thing. I remember there being a point at house group that night, and I remember it so clearly, because I just thought, actually, going into these situations that are scaring me, I'm not alone. Like, I'll be on my own in a person, but actually I was like, God will be with me, I'll be able to handle it. And you know, that's kind of what helped me get through it.
Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate you taking the time and having the courage to do it. That's brilliant.
Okay, so could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm John Harvey. I live in Porton.
And you've been ill recently, have you? What happened with that?
New Year's Day, I had a meal with everybody in the family. And yeah, shortly after that, two people who'd been at the meal had tested positive for COVID-19. I then began to suffer from a cough and decided to go and get tested. And I was, 24 hours later, I was positive for COVID-19.
And where would you say in this journey of having the virus, where would you say God was in all of that?
Well, I think faith, you know, throughout, really, recognizing how, you know, my immune system works best when I'm relaxed and confident. And also when people are praying for you, it gives you a certain sort of faith that you'll pull through, that actually you got people fighting for you, and that, you know, I may be doing the worrying, but God's doing the healing. And yeah, God gave me strength, that's for sure, to just, you know, battle each day. And
amazing. Thanks, John. I suppose my last question would be, what do you want to thank God for in all this?
Well, for the healing especially, but also for the people that surround you, that kind of surprise you and come out of the blue with the very practical things, like pop into the shops when you're self-isolating. It's those practicalities which are quite difficult. Yeah. So the phone calls, Zoom, is really kind of helpful to chat to people about stuff as well, because I always found that, you know, you actually do get quite down from the isolation of it. Yeah, so that would be the practical things that I'd like to thank God for.
All right, brilliant. Thanks ever so much, John.
Caroline, it's so brilliant to be hearing a little bit of your story and something that God's done. We're thinking about those moments in our lives where God has helped us to overcome something. So I don't know what you're going to say, but have you got an example that you can share?
Yes. Sometimes I suffer with anxiety, not all the time, but just a couple of weeks ago, I woke up and just had that feeling where I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. I knew this was too strong to pull myself out of it. So I went and I sat on my bed and just said, Lord, I just haven't got this in me today. I need you. So anyway, after it was about 25 minutes, I came downstairs. Bella was sat on the sofa. She was about to do a lesson. I didn't know what it was going to be or anything. Turned out it was RE, and my favorite song came on, How Great Thou Art. I sat there, just my eyes shut, sort of letting it wash over me, I suppose. And the lesson was about creation. And the teacher said, you know, what do you guys believe? Was it Big Bang, evolution, or whatever? And the teacher said, Bella, you know, we were wondering what you think. You know, we know that you're a Christian. What's your take on it? And in front of 27 children and her teacher, she said, well, I know God created the earth. It says so in the Bible, and I believe the Bible, so I know God is our creator. And I just sat there so, feeling so full and blessed to watch my baby girl, my little girl, have such strength and conviction in what she believes to do that. We decided after, I said, right, let's stop what we're doing. Let's just go for a walk. So we went up the top field. Anyone who knows me knows that I don't notice anything. Someone I've known for 20 years can walk past me and Tom be like, oh, that was so-and-so. I'm like, oh, really? I didn't see. So on our way home from the walk, and I noticed this lady come into the lane, and I sort of had this warm feeling, a sort of smile to myself, and I thought, I know this is some, this woman is something else from God. And we ended up having a chat for about a quarter of an hour. We were talking about COVID, and she asked me, you know, how are you coping with it? How are you getting through? And I just said, I'd be totally lost without my faith and my church. And she was so excited. She said, I'm a Christian too. What church do you go to? And I said, I'll go to Welton Baptist Church. I go to a Baptist church too. And she, you know, in Bath. And she was really excited. I was really excited. And I was thinking, I knew that was you, Lord. I knew you'd set this woman to, I don't know, just add to my day, just cheer me up. I went to bed that night and I grabbed hold of my mobile to switch it off. And I just felt so full. And I was going to pray all my thanks to God. And as I grabbed for my phone to turn it off, it pinged. And I thought, oh, just look at that real quick, and then I'll turn it off and pray. And it was a message from my lovely friend, Roz. And all it said was, I love you. And I was like, oh. In the morning, I was just weak, broken, didn't have it in me, couldn't do it. And tonight, because of my faith and because our Lord is so faithful, I just feel full.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's such a great story of a day that started one way and with God involved, ended a completely different way.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Really, really appreciate it. God bless you loads.
All right, Sarah, thanks for spending a bit of time today to talk about how you've been overcoming some things in your life. And I thought it'd be really good if you could share a little bit about how you've ended up on the staff team at Welton and some of the things that you've overcome in taking that role.
Okay. When I saw last year that Laura was leaving, I thought I would put my name forward for the job. But as time was going on, I was doubting my decision. And I phoned Matt H and just asked if he could take my name off the list. I just didn't think I could do it. He came back to me with options for me to think through. And I did do a bit of research, asking people different things and just seeing where my heart was in it all. But it was a hard decision to come to, but I had a couple of interviews with yourselves. And I ended up being on staff, which is great.
What was the biggest challenge? What was the thing which sort of made you unsure whether you should join or not?
The biggest challenge for me was the fear of failing and letting people down. Obviously, I've been a full-time carer for Poppy for coming up for 16 years, and I've been out of work for that time. So I had all the memories of working in the corporate world and what that was like. And I don't know, I do struggle still with letting people down. It's just not something I like to do. And I thought, I worried in case I didn't have the time to commit and it would be another fly-by-night thing that Sarah's done again. But no, God's really helped me show me a different way that it's not been like that. It's been a great experience for me.
What was it that sort of helped you to make your final decision to take the role?
Words from God. I remember thinking about it all, and just the thought came into my head that I could stay in my comfort zone. I could stay stagnant and just be. There'd be nothing wrong with that, but there's when you know that God wants to move you forward. It was very clear to me that he was saying, you can stay here, it's okay. Or you can get out the boat, trust me, keep your eyes on me, and let's go walking on this water, on this unknown together. And he's just been great and been by my side and all.
All right, so Keith, thanks ever so much for agreeing to do this. We're gonna ask you the same thing. Give us an area of your life where you've known God helping you to overcome.
Okay, yeah, I mean, the most clear thing I can think of was when I changed my job. Which is now a couple of years ago, though it still seems very new to me. You know, I had been a teacher for 23 and a half years, but I knew that I was being called to do something different. But, you know, I'm the type of person who, you know, likes to know what they're doing and likes to feel like I'm in control and, you know, able to just sort of be on top of everything. And when the sort of time came, physically my body would not allow me to go teaching anymore, which seems a bit bizarre. I had to step away from that. And, you know, having been that one person, a teacher for such a long period of time, it was something I felt very, you know, unsure of. And it was one great time where I was really forced to lean upon God. And there was one verse which, if I was better prepared, I'd actually looked up where it's from. I'm sure it's from Psalms, which is, "Be still and know that I'm God." And when I went through all of the process of starting to join the ambulance service and so on, because it was something which was so different, I didn't have a huge amount of confidence that I could do it, that they would accept me. But it was, this verse was me all the time. And every time I went for an assessment or went for a trial or whatever it might be, I was praying that line. And, you know, it was the easiest process I think I've ever been in terms of applying for a job. Just sailed through. And, you know, to this day, I'm not quite sure how that's happened. You know, when I was finished a shift last night and I was, you know, I was walking out of the garage and just thinking, wow, this is, hang on, how did I get to this point where I'm doing this job, which I'm absolutely loving? And that verse has really much stayed with me. You know, one of the things I love about the job I'm doing at the moment is you don't know what you're going to do day by day. A lot of it's mundane, but, you know, there is a chance that you might do something really exciting. And when we go into those jobs, I just have that verse in my mind, and be still and know that I'm God, you know, because although I've got a handle really on the practical stuff, there is just that feeling that I can't do this on my own and that I need God. And just that sort of very brief prayer as I go to a job is a real comfort and a real strength. So yeah, that's my testimony.
Thanks so much. I actually remember you making that big decision to stop that kind of pathway career that you'd done for so many years and the kind of faith in God it took to do the next thing and where you are now. So thanks for sharing it with us.
So hi there, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Bella.
Good, good. Now I heard that you've been having some struggles at school recently. What's been going on?
So basically, a couple of the girls have been bullying me.
You've been being bullied. So that sounds, I mean, that sounds really tough. We've been praying about that in house group and been worried about you and thinking about you. How's God been helping you kind of overcome some of that stuff?
I feel like he has really been with me and he's really helped me through it.
And how's it been since we've been praying for you and you've been praying as well?
Yes, really improved a lot.
Okay, now what actually happened? Because you did tell me a little bit about what actually happened, where you felt like God had answered some of your prayers.
So yeah, we've been praying for a couple of days and we've been praying that God will help us do something. And we weren't sure whether to contact the school or to wait. And so my mum asked me, and I thought we should probably wait and see if God does anything. And so yeah, that's what we did. And three days after we'd started praying, my teacher came up to me and he said to me, "Do you want to move?" Because the guy I'd been sat opposite was always like annoying me and stuff.
Okay, so that's amazing. So after you've been praying together, God actually gave you a chance to move away from the situation and things started to improve for you.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So has there been a special bit of scripture that you've been kind of holding on to through this time?
Yes, Psalm 91 verse 4 has really helped me. It says, "He will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge." And I think that's just really helped me because I can imagine just a shelter of love under his wings.
Yeah, that's lovely, Bella. Thank you. So what would you like to thank God for today?
I just really want to thank him for just helping me through it, and I just want to thank him for just getting me out of the situation.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, thanks ever so much, Bella.
So thank you everybody that shared today. We were so encouraged to hear your stories and the width of everything that God has been doing in helping us overcome so many different things throughout this time. Next week, We are going to be starting a new series called the Frontline Course. Some of you might have heard of this. It's all about how we can reach out to the people around us in our work settings, in our school setting, all kinds of different settings. Really helpful, practical stuff. And Ken Benjamin from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity is going to be sharing with us on our first week. So please, please come along to that. He's an amazing speaker, and it'd be really good to hear from him. Also, just as a final reminder, Alpha is going to be starting on Tuesday night. It is not too late to invite that person that's been on your heart, who you've been thinking it would be really good if they could just come along and investigate Jesus for themselves. So if you've got that one person that you just haven't got round to, it's not too late. Send them an email, send them a text, whatever it is. But in the meantime, just pray that you have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon. God bless.